Jesus, thank you that you are God. Thank you, Lord, that the book of Acts is alive and it's real. We're studying, we're not even halfway through it yet, Jesus. But in the book of Acts, you talk about how people get saved and then they'd move from one location to the next. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, people would come to know you and there'd be another church there. And then they'd plant another church and another church. Through the acts of your apostles of Jesus Christ, Lord, we are studying about how your revolution on earth began through the local church. I thank you, God, that I got a chance to go to Minneapolis and I missed this family so much. God, that they are really, they're knit inside my heart, but at the same time, it was so neat to go out to Minneapolis and see that the book of Acts, what they did is alive and real today. I just praise you for that, God. I pray that for the next few moments, you would just speak through me. God, you are kind, and I just pray that you would open up the hearts of all your people here, all your kids here, God, and that we would walk away knowing you deeper and that you would impact our lives. Calm my nerves, Jesus, I pray. I say these things in your name, Jesus Christ, amen. Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. This is so cool because I went to Minneapolis and I was there for 9 days and I was working like 12 to 15 hours a day. That sounds crazy, but I was in a studio out there and I had absolutely no time, like no time at all. I was like, I'd wake up, I'd go to the studio, I'd play music all day long, and then I'd come home, I'd go to bed, and I'd do the next same thing the next day. And then I came home from visiting that church out there. I was home for one evening, then went to that leadership overnighter, you know what I mean, that we went to, that Envision retreat, a lot of you guys went to that. I woke up the next day, came back here, I took a long nap, Sunday was Mother's Day, and then I honestly did not even open up my Bible to study this until like Tuesday. So it's Wednesday. That goes to show you how scared I was. Monday we had like a staff meeting. It was just a crazy day. And on Tuesday morning I woke up and I was like, God, I really want to teach your people, but you better do something good because I can't really learn a chapter in less than a day. And I opened up the book of Acts chapter 10 and I was like, oh, this feels so good because this chapter's so self-explanatory. And I'm thankful to God that he went, I knew you were going to be busy, and so I just gave you a really easy chapter. So I'm going to break it through. Honestly, God's awesome. And it's very self-descriptive, very self-explanatory. I'm going to kind of read it and break it apart as we go. So let's start. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. Okay? Cornelius, he's in charge of about 100 men. That's basically what that means. Verse 2, he and all of his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! Okay, what's going on here? Cornelius, just so you know, he is not a Jew. Cornelius is a Gentile. That's going to be important in about a second. So he's a guy that's hanging out. He's in charge of 100 men. He's sitting there one day. He's a God-fearing man. He's devout and God-fearing. He gives generously to those in need. He prayed to God, and one day he has this vision. He sees this angel, and the angel says, Cornelius. It's a Gentile. Okay, Cornelius, he stared at him in fear in verse 4. He said, what is it, Lord? The angel said, your prayers, Cornelius, and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius, this Gentile, called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and then sent them to Joppa. Really self-explanatory. An angel shows up. Here's a God-fearing guy. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He's sitting there. All of a sudden, the angel says, go. Cornelius says, I'm going to obey. I send a few men out there to go find Peter. Verse 9. This is an epic chapter, by the way, because it's like history being made. It's rad. Verse 9. It says, about noon the following day. Okay, so it's the next day. As these men that Cornelius sent were on their journey to go find Peter, and they were approaching the city, okay, Peter went up onto the roof to pray. Verse 10, he became hungry, and he wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, Peter fell into a trance. Verse 11, he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. In verse 12, it says it contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14, surely not, Lord, Peter replied, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. This is rad. The men are on their way, because Cornelius had this vision from an angel. They're on their way. Peter's up on the roof. Okay, he's hungry. He falls into this trance. He sees this sheet come through with all these unclean animals, these reptiles, and he's sitting there, and he's hungry, and he's waiting for the food to happen, and there's this trance and all these things that are unclean. God says, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter says, no. Why? Well, most of you guys know this. Peter is a devout Jew, okay? He loves Jesus. He has accepted Christ. He knows the grace of God. But at the same time, the Jewish people, okay, even up to this point, were following the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law, you can find it in the book of Exodus. And here's the deal. God, he rescued the Israelites, the Jewish people, from the land of Egypt. And they're out there. And God establishes himself as God. And he establishes these Israelites and these Jewish people as his holy nation. And so in order to do that, what he says is, you are my people, I've just rescued you from Egypt, you've come out of the land of Egypt, there is no other God before me, I am the one and only God. Now listen, you are a holy people. And in order for you to understand that concept, I'm going to set up a number of different laws that you can find in the book of Exodus. Some of those laws were dietary laws. You shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't eat that. You guys need to remember that you are a holy people. Don't go mingle over here with these other people that are eating what they are eating and doing the things that they are doing and making the sacrifices to the gods that they are making sacrifices to. You are my people. You are holy. Abstain from these things to remind yourself that you're a holy people. And so Peter, he's sitting there, and he's on this roof, and he gets this trance, okay, and this vision from God, and there's all these things that he has been taught that are impure and unclean, and God right there says, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. Verse 15 is epic to me, because God, he's just reaching through, and he's starting a brand new covenant on every level. It says, the voice spoke to him a second time. Peter, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Another thing that happens, that has happened through the generations, when the Jewish people and the Israelite nation, when God was establishing them as a holy people throughout time, those different dietary laws and those customs, they almost became exaggerated. And at this time that this is happening with Peter, okay, there's like a modern day racism going on. Okay, there's like that kind of thing. Gentiles, like Cornelius, okay, Jews didn't even associate with them. They wouldn't even walk. If there was a Gentile on this side of the street, they would move over here to this side of the street. Jewish people would not eat with them. Jewish people would not sit with them. They were like, you know what? Salvation has come to the Jews. Jesus Christ is even for us. And right now, Peter is acting under that assumption that Jesus Christ, he's got grace and it's for the Jews. And he doesn't realize that it is also for the Gentiles. He doesn't realize that God came for all people. And there's this kind of, this crazy segregation that's happening where Jewish people go, you know what, Gentiles, we don't touch. We don't see them. They're kind of, honestly, when I was studying it, they think they're savages. That's kind of the distinct line that they have. You're a savage. Salvation has come to me. I'm a child of Abraham. I've abstained from all these foods. I've done all these different things. And you guys, you just stay over there. And so when God says, you know, Peter, kill, eat, Peter says, no, I've never done any of those things. I'm not a frick-fracking savage. God says, do not call anything that I have made clean, unclean. This is rad. Verse 16, this happens three times, this vision, three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And I just love the sovereignty of God here, because God is doing it. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Okay, so we got to break it down. This is just so cool because the day before, God had gone to Cornelius and had already sent the men to go find Peter. And at the time, Peter's going, well, what did that weird vision mean? There's like this knock, knock, knock on the door being like, is Peter there? Awesome sovereignty. So Peter's wondering about what's happening. They called out asking if he's there. And while Peter was, in verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, Peter, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. It's like God saying, Peter, listen, I know you've been taught this about the Gentiles. I know you're under these customs. I know you're thinking this. I know in your mind that against the law to associate with them. Do not be afraid to associate with them. Go downstairs. I have sent them. Verse 21. Peter goes down. He says to the men, hi guys, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? And this is rad. Verse 22 and 23. I just love how the people, they talk about Cornelius when he's away. Okay, so Cornelius is still in his land, and he sends these messengers. And this is how they talk about Cornelius. It says, the men replied when Peter asked them that question. They said, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. And then Peter invited these men, these Gentiles, into his house to be his guests. Awesome. The next day, okay, verse 23, finishing up. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. In other words, he's going back to go meet Cornelius. Okay, he's going back there, and he says to these Israelite brothers, these Jewish Christians, Peter says to them, brothers, why don't you come with me? Let's go back to Joppa. So they go along. The following day, verse 24, it's been a day, they arrive in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. I love it. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. So it's like Cornelius said, there's going to be a man here. You know what? He's going to tell us a message. We don't really know what it's going to mean. All I know is that the day before I saw this bright, shining angel. He said, there's going to be a man coming here. So get your family and get your friends and let's wait for Peter. And Peter enters the house in verse 25. Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up. He said, I'm only a man myself. So Cornelius invites all of his friends and all of his family over. And Peter walks in and this guy's just like, and he gets down on his knees. He's like, you're here. And Peter, could you imagine? He's like, no. Get up. I'm just a man too, okay? I'm just a man too. So, talking with him. This is where the interpretation of the dream comes. This is awesome. Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people that Cornelius had invited. He said to them, oh, I love it. He said to them, you are all aware that it is against our law for a Jew to even associate with a Gentile or to visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Do you understand how huge that is? God just completely wipes out. It's like at this time, Peter's going, I'm holding on to Jesus Christ, and I'm holding on to my customs and my religion. And my religion and my customs, they say that I can't associate with this man. And Jesus just went, whoa! And he walks in and he says, you guys know that it is against the law for me to even be here. But now I know that salvation has come not just to the Jews. There is nobody that is impure or unclean. So, by the way, what am I doing here? That's what's going on. Cornelius answered, this is rad. 4 days ago, Peter, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly this man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. Verse 33, Cornelius says to Peter, so I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord commanded you to tell us. I don't want you to miss his heart. Cornelius is sitting there, and he goes, you know what? I had this crazy vision. I know and you know that it's against the law for you to be in my house. But God came to me, and he said, I got to send for you. And so I grabbed all of my close friends and all of my family, and we are here waiting. What message does God have? Their hearts are just thirsty. They're like, Peter, we're here. Tell us what you've got. And then Peter began to speak. Verse 34. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. That's a huge thing that's happening in Peter's heart. He accepts every man. He says, you know the message. He's telling these Gentiles. Cornelius, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And he starts to give the gospel right here. These men, these Cornelius and his friends and family, they're sitting there, they're waiting, they're expecting, they're wanting to know what Peter has to say. And so Peter just starts to tell them about Jesus. He says, you know, guys, what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. You've heard about this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So these formidable, thirsty-hearted people are sitting in this house. And Peter starts to talk, and he says, you guys have heard the news. You've heard the rumblings. Jesus Christ came, and he came with power, and he came with the Holy Spirit, and he went around and he did good things to all the people that were under the control of the devil, because God was with him. And he goes on in 39. Peter says this to Cornelius and the gang. He says, "We are witnesses of everything Jesus did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, but they killed him by hanging him on a tree. But then God raised him from the dead, and on the third day caused him to be seen." He's just laying out the gospel. "He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, like me, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." So this is just a clear gospel presentation. He's going, "Hey guys, Jesus came with power. He came with the Holy Spirit. All these people were under the power of the devil. He came around, he did good things to them out of compassion and love. And then we came along, and the Jewish people, they killed him. But then God raised him from the dead, and you wouldn't believe what happened. He appeared to us, not to everybody, but he appeared to us. And then when he appeared to us, we ate with him. We like touched him. Jesus is alive. He is a living God. We saw him. We are witnesses of this." Could you imagine these guys' eyes like, "Go!" Wow, what a crazy thing that's going on. It says in verse 42, Peter's saying this. He says, "Hey guys, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, Jesus Christ, is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." In verse 43, this is like the wham bam, thank you Pam, two punch thing. He says, "All the prophets testify about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness. It's like the final 1-2 punch. 44, this is rad. Peter is still speaking these words. He had just said to them, "Guys, Jesus came, he rose from the dead, he commissioned us, and here's the message that everybody who believes in him has forgiveness of sins." And he's still speaking the words. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Literally, the Holy Spirit came on all those who believed. That's what that means. So these men, they're sitting there and they're listening to this and they're soaking it up, because don't forget their hearts. They said, "We're all here, all of our friends, all of our family. We're waiting for you, Peter, to tell us this message of God." Peter goes, "Here's the message of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you've received forgiveness of sins." And they're believing that. And right at that moment, the Holy Spirit enters their life. Verse 45. This is awesome. This is my favorite part of the whole section. It says the circumcised believers, okay, the guys that Peter brought with him, okay, to go to meet Cornelius, these circumcised believers, the ones that believed in Jesus but were still Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. This is like Jesus Christ. He just comes in and he just wipes all the slate clean. All these men that were with Peter, it's like, "You know what? Salvation's for the Jews. And so we got to be circumcised and stay away from these certain foods and believe in Jesus." It's like Jesus plus something. We're the Jews and we don't eat this, we don't eat that, but Jesus came for our sins. And all of a sudden it's like they're sitting there and they realize that Jesus Christ has come from all people. It's like God just took a big cloth to the old covenant law and he just went, "Whoa, whoa, whack," and he just wiped it away so that everyone can believe in Jesus. That's amazing. Could you imagine how crazy that would be? They've been taught their whole life. It's like God came for us, God came for us. And then they're sitting there to these men that they think are savages and they start speaking in tongues. It's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. How do these guys have the Holy Spirit? They're not circumcised. I saw them eating pigs and stuff earlier in the day. What's going on?" They're astonished by it. They can't believe. In my mind, I'll bet you they're just going, "God is love. God loves everybody. It's not what church they're part of. It's not whether or not they've been circumcised. It's not whether or not they've stayed away from certain foods. It has everything to do with Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. History's being made." And these men are watching it. Jesus Christ really did come for all people, and they're astonished that all these people, these savages, are praising God. And then Peter said, I just can picture Peter just kind of doing one of these things like, 47, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water?" That's like what he's looking at these other brothers. He's like, "You've been circumcised, I've been circumcised, these guys, they've been circumcised, but nobody can keep these guys from being baptized." The Holy Spirit's on them. Can anybody keep them from being baptized? They received the Holy Spirit without doing a thing except believing in the message, just as we have. So Peter ordered that these men be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then those pagans, those savages in their mind, asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. I'm sweaty. Partly because it's hot, partly because I'm excited. It's like, man, God, guys, here's the practical. Understand the grace of God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It has nothing else to do. Your salvation is not based on whether or not you sinned yesterday. It is not based on whether or not you will sin in the future. It's not based on what you do smoke or don't smoke. God wants to get into all those areas of your life. Don't get me wrong. But your salvation and the love of God has nothing to do with what you do or do not do. It is only based on the name of Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. Don't let your brothers or your sisters miss it. When they blow it, remind them of the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't miss it. It is the message that we've got. It's the only good thing you and I have in this life. Is that message. We are dirty and savages and crazy and sinful, and in my heart I want to be good and I can't be good, and I try to keep my own laws and do my own things, and we end up tired and beaten and ostracized. And God comes in and says, No. I love you because I made you. You are worthy not because of what you've done or what church you go to. You're worthy because of a Jesus Christ and the death and resurrection on that cross. That is a beautiful message, and we have it. And the same Holy Spirit that lived in these men live in us. It's awesome. Let's pray. God, thank you for this. Thank you, Lord, that the message of salvation and grace is so beautiful. It's just too easy. We thank you that you are a God that loves us that much. We thank you, Lord, that you broke down all the norms, all the different things that we thought we needed to do. Even in the Old Testament law, how you renewed that, God, with your own presence, with the sacrifice, the final sacrifice of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that salvation has nothing to do with who we are, but it has everything to do with who you are. Help us, Jesus, to be men and women that have an understanding of your grace. Help us, Lord, to be men and women that reach out to those that are different than us. Help us, Lord, to be men and women that are known for loving you and being impacted by your grace and therefore bold in what you've called us to do. Jesus, thanks for this family. Thank you that I love them. Thank you that we're together. Bless our small groups, and we say these things in your name, Jesus Christ, amen.